Well, welcoming to the program today the Director of the Office of Emergency Management here in the city of Quincy, Ali Sleeman, to chat a little bit about that department, and of course, about the snowstorm. So, Mr. Sleeman, nice to virtually meet you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Hi, Joe. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
If you could, I think a lot of folks might not be aware of what the Office of Emergency Management actually is and does. If you could give us kind of a quick overview.
Right. There's a few different objectives of the Emergency Management Department. One is prevention, mitigation, also response and recovery from emergency activities and events. Working with city departments, like for example, we have the snowstorm going on right now. So it's a lot of complex coordination, ensuring that we're prepared in the EOC right now, prepping it in case we need it. And disaster recovery is one respect of the department, and also currently right now working COVID primarily with PPE procurement and distribution for city departments.
So the EOC, for folks who aren't familiar with the acronym, what is that?
So the EOC is the City Emergency Operations Center. The EOC is activated at any time there's an event which involves complex coordination between multiple departments in the city. So, for example, with the snow event, DPW obviously very involved clearing the roads, police and fire responding to calls. So if it does get to the point where we need to activate the EOC, we'll have representatives from each department here at the EOC, and we'll centralize calls here and react accordingly.
Speaking of the snowstorm, I know that an alert was sent out through the city system already to inform folks about that. So what is that system, Allie?
So we sent out a snow alert via the Alert Quincy system, which is a mass notification system, which is capable of sending out phone calls, text messages, and emails. We did pull some numbers in there from open source databases, but it's essentially enrollment based. So Quincy residents that got the call, most people did enroll. So it's very important for residents of the city to enroll in the Alert Quincy program so they can get the alerts. There's a link on the city webpage under emergency management. I think we're going to share that, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely will. So folks can see that for sure.
And again, we've sent out alerts, sometimes non-emergency alerts regarding like general alerts for example, road closures, water main breaks. And then also we use it for storms like we had right now yesterday for the storm emergency. So it's an important tool, particularly with the snow emergency rules regarding parking and staying off the major arteries so people are aware.
And is this the kind of thing where you can kind of select how you receive the alert, either text or phone call or email?
Right. So when you enroll, you have the option of selecting all to receive them via text message, phone call, and email, or one or any of the above. So you could do two. You could do email and phone call, no text, whatever you prefer.
Yeah. And once you're enrolled, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying whatever you prefer, whatever's best for you, whatever you use the most.
Okay. And once you're enrolled, are you always enrolled?
Yes, you will be unless, you can email our office directly and ask to be removed. And you can also go on the registration page and there's an opt-out on there as well.
Okay. Are you able to designate, where the alerts go if there's an incident in a certain section of the city, or is it just kind of a blanket alert?
Right. So that's an important part I overlooked, Joe. Thanks for bringing that up. So it's geographically based. We can geo-target geo-target up to 100 meters. So we could geo-target which one block of the city, which we've done in the past with certain events which required evacuations, particularly fires. We've sent out some messages that were geographically based to a very small section of the city. So we sent out what they call an all call yesterday, which went to every resident in the city that's in the database. So it was a citywide call.
Sure. It's going to be a citywide snowstorm. So absolutely.
Right. We will.
Speaking of, how is your office preparing for the snowstorm? What's going on there in the background?
Like I said, we're preparing the EOC right now. We're doing system checks right now, ensuring all the equipment here is operational. Also coordinating with DPW, in touch with the commissioner, the superintendent, also the operations manager there. They'll be running things from 55 C Street, but we'll be in contact. If they do need to move down here, that will happen. Not sure what will happen. We'll see how it pans out, but they also have backup power there, so they might stay up there. We'll just see what happens. We have a couple statewide coordination calls going on this afternoon that I'll be on with MEMA, and also some state reps, just to kind of see what's going on statewide in the event that it turns into a potential mutual aid event where there could be, you know, communities requesting mutual aid.
I see. Okay. So can we talk a little bit about what folks can do to prepare at home?
Right. So I think the first and most important thing in a going into a storm like this is being prepared for a power outage, which potentially could happen. Looks like there's some strong winds in the forecast, particularly for tomorrow morning. Looks like they could get up to like 40 miles an hour. Strong winds can trigger, you know, trees to fall, wires can fall, and then we have a power outage. So to prepare for that, everyone should have a home emergency kit, which is very important. You should keep your kit at home in a place that's easily accessible. You should keep it in a bag where if you have to leave your house because of an extended power outage, you can take it with you, or you can just stay home. I know you've been showing that on cable. QATV has been posting the kit on cable. And, food, water, manual can opener is important. Battery-powered flashlights, radios, so you can stay in touch with the outside world for an extended period of time. Nowadays, most people have cell phones, not a landline phone. So if you have a cell phone, make sure you have a battery-powered cell phone charger. And also, if you have a landline in your house, it's important to have a phone that doesn't require electricity. You can simply plug in. Never have to worry about those losing power. And then also, if the heat in your home is, based upon electricity, even if it's oil and your furnace is based on electricity, ensuring you have extra blankets, warm clothes, personal hygiene kit with everything important that you need for yourself, medication, pet supplies if you have them, and baby supplies.
Good idea, too, I think, probably to remind folks about the safe operation of gasoline-powered generators if they do have those.
Yes, most definitely be careful. Most people that have them know what they're doing. I've never hooked one up to my home myself, so I don't have much insight on that, but most definitely be anytime you're using anything that's powered with gasoline, make sure you're careful with that, specifically when you know, around any open type of spark that could potentially light something up.
Absolutely, yeah. I know that the fire department is unfortunately responding to incidents where carbon monoxide can be an issue, certainly. And I know that if there is an emergency during a snowstorm, your office will be quite involved, yes?
We will be. From the macro perspective of coordination with other city departments, for example, the park department with downed trees, ensuring those calls get to the right personnel to respond. Same with DPW. Storm-related activities with the city are mostly DPW and the park department. And just, you know, staying in touch with those department heads, Commissioner Murphy and Commissioner Grazioso. You know, we talk on a daily basis and, you know, assisting them with whatever they need.
Sure. There is a snow hotline I know that's available for folks at 376-1927 to report issues like that. I know the Parks Department will be available, and National Grid I know has extra crews. I'm sure you're in touch with them as well.
Right. So you just mentioned the DPW snow hotline, 376-1927. There's also, if you want to send an email, it's snowhotline@quincyma.gov. For downed trees during business hours, you can call the park department, 617-376-1251. And for power outages, to report a power outage, National Grid is 1-800-465-1212.
What's the situation with the trash collection alley for Thursday?
So if your trash is picked up on Thursday, it's been moved to the right one day. So Thursday pickup is now Friday. Friday's regular collection will be delayed until Saturday. So if you reside in a section of the city where your trash is picked up on Thursday or Friday, it's moved one day to the right.
Okay. And as far as schools go, I've already been informed by the school department that it's going to be a fully remote learning day. So the students will not be in the buildings Thursday or Friday, according to the superintendent's office.
That's correct. It's probably a good idea. We don't want anybody traveling in this unless they have to. we want everyone off the major arteries so we can keep those clear for public safety vehicles and also the DPW crews so they can keep the roads clear.
Sure.
I think I should mention that as well. No parking on designated emergency arteries, even side of the streets this year. And if you reside on a street with posted permanently one side parking, you should park on the same side. You always do. Just please make sure you adhere to those rules. It's very important that if you keep your vehicle out of the way or the crews won't be able to clear the roads, and that causes a problem for everyone, particularly public safety vehicles if they need to get down the road. So we're counting on everyone's cooperation.
Yeah, I know that the police will tow if necessary, and that's at least $100 bill. So best to do your best to get the car out of the way for sure.
Right.
And the mayor has told me that the new parking garage across from the courthouse will be open through the storm and available for the fee of $12, a flat fee for $12.
That's right. It's a beautiful new parking facility. If you can't get your car off the street, if you have no driveway to put it in, you most definitely can park there for the $12 per day. So that's a great resource at your disposal.
Yes, which is much less than a towing bill and much more convenient.
Right. Don't want to get towed.
Anticipating any issues along the coast, Allie, during times of high tide?
So I'm going to hear a little bit more on the statewide coordination call. There'll be a couple reps from the National Weather Service on the call. It looks like the strong storm surge, the tidal surge, is going to be on the south coast, down in Buzzards Bay, down that way.
Okay.
It looks like a potential 3 to 4 foot storm surge around here, which actually isn't that significant. So right now, no, we'll see what happens as things develop and we get more information from the Weather Service.
Okay. Very good. So let's hope not, for sure. I know that there's been a lot of work done on the seawalls and some of the flood-prone areas just for this type of occasion. So hopefully that will work.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about some of your other department activities with regards to the pandemic?
With COVID, we've been primarily engaged with managing and distribution the city's PPE stock. You know, it's funny, Joe, when this all started last March, I don't think anybody was prepared. We definitely weren't in my department as far as PPE. We only had, a couple hundred masks for the entire city. So working with MEMA and FEMA, we've been able to build quite a stockpile, all coordinated through resource requests through MEMA and FEMA. And they've really supported us. They've delivered, over 2,000 pieces, 200,000, I should say, pieces of PPE, mostly delivered by the Massachusetts National Guard, all at no cost to the city, all federally funded. Masks, face shields, gloves, sanitizing spray, wipes, all been delivered to city departments. But the Quincy Police Department and Fire Department alone, we were able to issue them over 10,000 different types of masks apiece. So that's been huge. And then also the sanitizing equipment for the city vehicles to keep those clean. Prior to that, the Emergency Management Department deployed a shelter, a homeless shelter. A non-congregate type shelter at the social YMCA to space out that population. We did that in April 2020, provided them with logistical support, 60 cots, 60 blankets for the folks down there, and also provided them with regular deliveries and supplies of PPE all the way up until a few months ago when they went back to their normal footprint down on Broad Street. So that was it went well considering the circumstances. The city reacted well, got those folks taken care of for the time being. And then also another big accomplishment, just recently last month, on November 10th, actually, the State Emergency Response Commission met and reviewed our hazardous materials plan for the city, our city hazmat response plan, which we worked on with the fire department for the last 2.5 years. It was signed into law and approved unanimously. It was 8-0 vote. And we have a very comprehensive, meticulous response plan for all of the facilities within the city that possess hazardous materials.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. I'm thinking facilities down around the shipyard. Are you speaking about the industrial areas?
There's a few on Southern Artery that have gasoline, home heating oil. There's also a coconut/palm oil refinery on Washington Street in Quincy Point. The one facility you just mentioned is an NWRA facility. They have some hazmat as well. And then most of the hazmat in the city, Joe, is small stuff. It's lead acid batteries, things of that nature. Quincy Fire Department does a great job with oversight of hazmat. They know where everything is down to the minor detail, and they do a great job with that. Yeah. So.
Well, of course, there could be a tanker truck coming through the city, or a freight train, or, you know, God forbid, an airplane. So I'm sure that's all been considered as well.
That's really good. Yeah, all of it. So we did a traffic commodity flow assessment study, which studied a lot of the potential hazmat that comes through the city, and a lot of it comes through on 93 North and South. Mm-hmm. Then also some of the major arteries in the city, Bergen Parkway, Southern Artery, you know, at any time there could be some type of mishap with a truck that tips over. Like you mentioned, we're in the flight pattern from Logan Airport. At any time there could be some type of incident where an airplane crashes. Hopefully that never happens. There are a couple factories in the city that do ship stuff still by rail. And then we have a couple ports in the city that deliver gasoline and home heating oil via tanker. So
that's true.
A lot of different things to think about, and the hazmat plan was all accounted for, very comprehensive. We feel like we're well prepared.
That's great. Will your department, Allie, be involved in the vaccine distribution at all? Do you know right now?
Well, we're waiting to hear from the state. Most likely, that'll be mostly coordinated by the public health department.
Okay.
Any involvement we would have would be assisting with a distribution pod site, a point of distribution site. Or what they call an EDS, a POD site, point of distribution site, or emergency distribution site. It looks like the phase one of the vaccine is going to arrive anytime. That's going to be going to healthcare workers first. Mm-hmm. It looks like those will be, and that will be coordinated through their place where they work. So the vaccine will be coming directly to them, and then moving on to first responders. Group homes, shelters, corrections facilities, things of that nature is all in phase one, which the state released their plan a couple of weeks ago. And then start in February and March, they'll move on to phase two. There's some specifics there of who will be eligible to get the vaccine in the different phases.
Yeah, it's a huge logistical undertaking. It really is. So it's going to be quite a rollout over the next year, I'm sure.
Right. And I think one of the major concerns with the vaccine distribution is you have to keep it, I think it's 20 below zero. I could be wrong. It might even be colder than that, but you have to keep it at an extreme low temperature to ensure that it stays, that it keeps its, I'm not sure what word I should use, but I'm not really expert at it, but it has to be kept cooler or it's not going to work. So,
right.
And that's a problem that I think they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, and that it does expire too. So there's time is of the essence, quite literally. Sure,
right.
So, but in the short term, you've got a snowstorm to deal with, and maybe we should just recap for folks the snow emergency procedures, if you will, guidelines, and what that means here in Quincy right now.
Right. Let me get back to that. I know the mayor went over that with you the other day. I believe Commissioner Grazioso did as well.
Oh, yes.
So. Back here, it's an even numbered year, so even park on even numbered side of the roads. Parking is prohibited on all designated emergency arteries. It's a very comprehensive list, Joe. I could list them all, but there's about like 30 different roads on here.
Yeah, they have the red and white signs all right on them, so there's no mystery.
Right. So you should be so if you're not sure, check signs. You don't want to get towed. On streets where it's posted permanently one side parking, you should always continue to park on the side that's always been allowed. And then we did mention the Hancock lot is open. If that's not an option for you to get your car out of the road, you can take it there for $12 a day.
Right.
Trash is pushed one day to the right. If your pickup's on Thursday, it's now Friday. Friday is now Saturday. The DPW snow hotline, if there's any issues with snow, affecting you, please call 617-376-1927. You can also email DPW at snowhotline@quincyma.gov.
Yep, and sign up for Quincy Alerts too, right?
Very important. Alert Quincy on the city website to ensure you receive all emergency alerts, particularly with the snow emergency, so you just know the rules for parking. So you know that's out there. And you can, like we discussed previously, Joe, that you can select either email, text, or a call, a telephonic call, whatever you prefer. You'll get those alerts anytime they're required.
Great. Anything else that we should add right now, do you think, Ellie?
I think that's about it, unless you have any questions.
I think we've covered a lot in a short period of time to let folks know that that your department is there and ready and willing and able to respond. And let's hope, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
You know, our public works department, they're all consummate professionals up there. And, right now we don't anticipate any issues. We think they'll be able to, get the snow off the roads. The most important part is everyone's cooperation to get your cars off the road so they can clear the roads and keep everyone safe.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time, Ellie. Good to talk to you.
You as well, Joe. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.